Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Glad to be here one more time on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally, normally joined by Sean Boyd, but he is on assignment tonight and filling in dutifully, one of those words, is Corey Sullivan. Corey, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here, and let's have a good show.
Absolutely. Now, Corey, of course, we had a fantastic football game last night. If you were watching Sunday Night Football, the world-beating Philadelphia Eagles were in town in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, and they left with a clipped wing or maybe two.
Yeah, it was a great game. I think mostly I was surprised by the play of Bradley McDougal. We're watching the game last night. Everything was always all about Russell Wilson, but rewatched the game today, and Bradley McDougal really stood out, especially on defense. What did you see from the Seahawks in this one?
You know, McDougal was one of the guys that did stand out. That's not a household name by any means, and he's got a lot of heavy shoes to fill, filling in for the injured Cam Chancellor, who's out for the year with his neck injury, and we don't know what the extent of that's going to be for Chancellor, and the Seahawks can only hope that he can get better, rehab, and come back next season. And McDougal was on fire. Outside of one penalty he had against him, the rest of the game he was seemed to be everywhere on that field.
Yeah, he was everywhere, and that's the thing. You know, you spoke about it a little bit. Cam Chancellor's been out, and that was kind of the, I guess, the Achilles heel, for lack of a better term, right now of the Seahawks this or last season, is they didn't really have the depth from, you know, dropping off from Earl Thomas to, you know, a second feasible safety option. And so I think with Sherman out for the year and Cam out for the year, I think McDougal really stepped up and played a great game against, you know, one of the opponents that's obviously playoff worthy.
So what were your thoughts coming into the game prior to Sunday Night Football yesterday? Of course, the majority of the quote-unquote prognosticators, experts, had the Eagles winning that game, and yet the Seahawks were thinking otherwise.
Well, I've been a Seahawks watcher, fan, whatever you'd like to call it, for a long time. So seeing, you know, the Seahawks at home and they were the underdogs, it was pretty much a perfect scenario for, you know, a true Seahawk fan, somebody that's been following them for a long time, because that's who the Seahawks are. They're a bunch of underdogs. You look at Russell Wilson, Cam Chancellor, Doug Baldwin. That's what made them who they are. They are the guys that were picked in the third, fourth round and looked over, weren't those top-level, top-tier guys. And so, you know, you look back at the Super Bowl year, and it was kind of the same thing. They were going up against the Titan Denver Broncos, best offense of all time, and they throttled them. So I had all the confidence in the world in the Seahawks. Carson Wentz coming into a hostile environment as Seattle. I think Carson Wentz, to start, is an amazing quarterback. I think he's going to be, you know, one of those franchise quarterbacks that you're going to see for a long time, is going to be in the playoff picture. But, you know, to come into a hostile environment like Seattle as a second-year player, it's tough. And you saw that last night, I think. And so I had complete confidence in them, and I'm glad the national media and Vegas didn't have confidence in them. So I hope some people won some money last night.
Well, one guy that knows a lot about football, and we can talk more about that Sunday night clash, among other things, is with us now on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone line, and that is none other than Terry Holloman. Terry, thanks for your time tonight.
Man, pleasure. Glad you guys can have me back on. It's been a long time. I feel neglected. I feel like I'm like an orphan child. So.
Terry, how you doing? This is Corey Sullivan. I got a question, a couple questions for you about the game or just the Seahawks in general. with Russell playing the way that he is, where do you see this run offense going forward?
You know, I've been questioning this run offense for the entire season. I wouldn't even, you know, to call it a run offense is a misnomer because there is no offense. There is no run game. There has been no run. Russell Wilson has been the only rushing attack that we've had on this Seahawks offense until this past week. Now, we saw Mike Davis emerge, in my opinion, as the starter. In the meantime, while we still have some guys out with injury, Eddie Lacy has proven to be, in my opinion, ineffective. Thomas Rawls is inconsistent at best. Mike Davis, as we saw last night, was completely, you saw flashes of, I don't want to call it greatness, but you just saw flashes of hope with this this rushing attack. So it's definitely not the rushing attack that we've become accustomed to here in Seattle with Marshawn Lynch and the run first type of mentality. I think the mentality of this team is now switched to become a pass first option. And, you know, if there is a run option, it's been Russell Wilson. But we know now that Mike Davis has the ability to run the football in the National Football League based on some of the stuff that we saw last night.
I agree with you. Going to the other side of the football on the defense, last year there was quite the drop-off after Earl Thomas went out, broke his leg. What do you see this year now that, you know, two of the Legion of Boom members are injured, but the secondary is still playing pretty well?
You know, the thing about Earl Thomas is you're talking about a guy that is, in my opinion, a future Hall of Famer. And it's not just my opinion. I think it's most people that know the game and most people that study the game and know the position know that he's a one-in-a-generation type of player. When you have him back there, quarterbacks are not going to test him very often. They're not going to throw the ball deep. They're not going to come across the middle. It limits the quarterback's ability and the receiver's ability to attack certain parts of the field. That being said, when you got guys like Richard Sherman, who of course is also another Hall of Famer that is out, and Cam Chancellor, a guy who has earned the nickname the Enforcer for a reason, you have the next man mentality that the Seahawks have developed, their mantra of next man up. And I've always thought there's no way you can replace a Richard Sherman and there's no way to replace a Cam Chancellor. But what I have come to find out, again, last night and then over the past couple of weeks, you have a guy like Bradley McDougal who's filling in for Cam Chancellor, who is not the physical specimen that Cam Chancellor is, but he's learned under his tutelage and the way that the Seahawks go about their business. He is completely fundamentally sound. You never find him out of position. He's a sound tackler. He's not going to knock anybody's heads off the way Cam Chancellor used to, but he's very fundamentally sound. He's able to fill the shoes. And then you got a guy like Shaquille Griffin on the other side who is having a phenomenal rookie season. He is just going to be one of the great cornerbacks coming down the stretch. Very, very good. And then we lucked up and got Byron Maxwell back in the fold. This is a guy that's been in the system before. He understands what's going on back there. He has a good relationship with some of the guys back there. So I think they're going to be okay. It's not going to be the LOB of past, but I think it's the LOB of the future.
Terry Holloman joining us here on the double, and T. Holla, you know, it's almost like a bend but don't break, but in Seattle last night, that defense looked very similar to what we saw in 2013.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you have a bunch of guys that are young and have, for the most part, before this season, been untested. Like I said, you have a rookie in Shaquille Griffin who's having a lights-out rookie campaign. I'm trying to think in my brain right now if there's another quarterback in the National Football League that's a rookie that has played as well as he has, considering the situation that he's been thrown into. You lose a guy like a Richard Sherman, who is unquestionably the greatest cornerback of all time. Well, I'm not going to go that far because you got to be Deion Sanders in there. But of his generation, hands down, Richard is the best guy that was out there playing. He's done for the season, and he's had the ability to have guys like Jeremy Lane and Byron Maxwell fill his shoes. But they've learned under his tutelage. And so it is not the flashy big-name, high-profile guys that we've come to know in 2015 and 2016. But you're right. It's like those young, hungry guys that we saw back in 2013 that were trying to make a name for themselves. And these guys obviously have a chip on their shoulder. You can see the way they play the game.
Now, Terry, why do you think it is that the national media and people outside of the Pacific Northwest are so quick to not necessarily jump off the Seahawk bandwagon already, but just not give them the credit they deserve, and because they have four losses, think that the sky is falling, and a team like the Eagles, who have had a cake schedule, let's be honest, their own division, the NFC West, and they hadn't played the Seahawks until yesterday, they haven't played the Rams until this coming Sunday, they've got the AFC West as well. Why do you think so many quote-unquote experts were ready to crown the Eagles?
Well, for a couple of reasons. Of course, and as we've talked about this at length through this interview here, is that the defense is missing several key components of that, you know, world record-breaking defense that they've had for the past 5-6 years. You're missing guys like Cliff Avril. You're missing guys like Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. And so when you start missing some of those big names, you know, the national media, they're going to be attracted to those guys. Richard Sherman is a talking head. You know, not he transcends the game of football. It's more than just football with him. So guys around the country gravitate to Richard Sherman. They'll gravitate to a Cam Chancellor. This is what they're used to. And then on offense, you think about our offense, other than Russell Wilson, who would you think the national media would gravitate to? Who's the high profile guy on our offense besides Russell Wilson that you say, I gotta follow that guy week in and week out and see what he's gonna do because something spectacular is gonna happen? Unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever side of the coin you choose to flip, we don't have those guys. We have Doug Baldwin as our leading receiver, who we know here in the Pacific Northwest is a phenomenal wide receiver, one of the best in the game, one of the most, you know, consistent guys week in and week out. He does his job incredibly, but he's not Antonio Brown. He's not making the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's not on ESPN because of the things he's saying and doing anymore. So we don't get that national pub. But, of course, you know, it always goes, I hate to be that guy, but there is a little bit of West Coast bias. The guys out east don't get to watch the Seahawks play that often anymore. And because they're not a Super Bowl contender as they were in 2013, 2014, they don't jump off the page to anybody nationally. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the way things are going. If they don't want to give Seattle Seahawks their just due, let them keep traveling underneath the radar. Don't pay them any attention until the playoffs. And then you have to deal with it.
T. Holler, switching up gears a little bit. I want to talk about your Washington Huskies facing off against Penn State, but without linebacker, lead linebacker, potentially, Azeem Victor. How do you feel this game is going to go, facing off against Saquon Barkley?
You know, the thing about Azeem Victor, he's an incredibly talented young man, so much potential, such a physical presence, but the Huskies have had to play without him for the entire season. He didn't start in the first game because he had some off-field issues leading into the season, so he did not start. That gave somebody else an opportunity to step in and play lights-out football. Ben Bakirin, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He's the white kid with the long curly hair that hangs out the back. Ben Bakirin, he's an incredible athlete. Incredible linebacker. He's done an amazing job filling in. Azeem Victor was just barely getting back onto the field at the end of the season, and they were putting him in as a rush end. So he wasn't even playing middle linebacker. So I think the Huskies are going to do a very good job defensively in his absence. The guys are just solid, man, all the way around. It starts up front with the guys Greg Gaines and Keith Vea. Those guys are incredible run stoppers. Vita Vea is 7'3", 612 pounds, I think, last time I checked. And when you can't put one single lineman on him to block him and expect to be effective. So up front, the front four are going to be solid in stopping that running attack of Penn State. And then they have some solid linebackers to fill in the background.
Yeah, on the other side,
Quinn
though.
McCarron, that's his name. I'm sorry.
There you go. On the other side, Jake Browning hasn't had quite the season he did last year. No more John Ross. But how do you think that he and the offense, do you think that they could just ride Myles Gaskins all game against Penn State, or what do you think that this offense can do?
Myles Gaskin is a workhorse. He's a guy, you know, you don't expect him to do the things that he does because he seems to be slightly built, but he has no fear. He is a guy that runs it and puts it right up in between the tackles, and somehow, some way, he always bounces out. And the play is never over with Myles Gaskin. You think you have him down on the ground, and he's still running. His feet are still moving. He seems to pick up extra yards every single time he touches the ball. And when you get tired of handing it to him, there's another guy by the name of LaVon Coleman, who is a giant man amongst boys playing running back, who's going to, in my opinion, be an incredible specimen at the next level as well. So you got two guys back there running the ball. When you get tired of handing it to those two guys, there's a freshman by the name of Savon Ahmed. he's just an incredible speedster and an incredible talent that the Huskies have to look forward to for the next three seasons if he decides to stay that long. They have some weapons on offense outside of Jake, so I'm not really concerned about it. And when he decides that he wants to start doing his thing and sit in that pocket and set his feet and throw the ball, Browning can throw the ball just as good as anybody else. So.
That's the voice of Terry Holloman, otherwise known as T. Holla, former running back at the University of Washington. And we have to mention co-host on The Barbershop on Sports Radio 950 KJR in Seattle Wednesday evenings alongside former Coug and Seahawk Marcus Trufant. Now, how do you guys work that? Is that kind of oil and water? I know you guys are great friends, but you got a Husky and a Cougar, Terry.
Yeah, you know, it's rough sometimes, you know, especially coming around the time of Thanksgiving and that little thing they call the Apple Cup. It gets kind of testy around the station. But, no, honestly, we have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, we don't take it too seriously. I know the thing about the Apple Cup and people who are on the outside looking in, and you see it's a heated rivalry, but it's more of a, in my opinion, it's more of a brotherly type of rivalry. You know, we understand that a lot of us grew up playing football against each other or playing basketball against each other right here in the state of Washington or in the Northwest. We've been dealing with each other for a long time. And, you know, we just, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we just got to hash it out. You know, sometimes the little brother thinks that he can beat up the bigger brother. You know, I've been working out. You know, I've been drinking milk. I've been doing push-ups. So, you know, I want to test Big Bro. And Big Bro, a.k.a. Husky, sometimes I have to put little brother back in his place. So, every year around Thanksgiving, we get an opportunity to do that. So Marcus understands that, and he's cool with it. So, you know, he's okay. He had a 10-year career in the NFL, so he has that to lean on.
Now, Terry, what is your take on Mike Leach and what he's done at Wazoo? Of course, he's brought them to prominence in the top 20, top 25, doing great things, going to a good bowl game. But at the same time, it seems like they're so Jekyll and Hyde. They have not shown up in an Apple Cup since his first year in Pullman. And not only that, what was with him in L.A. a day or two after the Apple Cup, and then he may or may not be trying to leave. What's going on there?
You know, people are always trying to up their resume a little bit, you know, try to move on to something bigger and better, and maybe that's, you know, they waved a little money in his face and an opportunity to go down to a big-time program like they have down there in Knoxville. So, you know, maybe the grass is looking greener for a minute for Mr. Leach. But at the end of the day, it all fell through, and I think that's to the betterment of Washington State. And I'll be honest, you know, I've had my grievances with Mike Leach just on a personality standpoint because some of the things that he does and the way he coaches is counter to the way I would prefer to be coached, per se. But fortunately for me, I don't have to be coached by Mike Leach. But he's done an incredible job. To say anything other than he's done an incredible job with the kids there in the Palouse would be a disservice. You know, he's brought that program back to relevance. You know, it's really tough, and you know, just being honest, it's tough to recruit kids to go out to Pullman. It gets really cold, and it's really desolate, and it's a small town, and you have to have a special kind of kid that wants to go out there and play. And so what I think he's done out there is he's been able to get some kids out there to buy into what he's done and what he's doing, and he's created. And I really don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, and I really mean this as a compliment to those guys at Wazoo, is that he's made a bunch of overachievers. He's taken a lot of guys that may have been passed over or looked over, or some kids that might have had a chip on their shoulder, and turned them into some great players. You look at some of the guys that are coming out of there this season, like Luke Falk. You know, who would have thought that kid 4 years ago would be the all-time leading passer in the Pac-12 history, the history of the conference? Nobody would have imagined that. Nobody was going to take a chance on that kid. You look at some of these, Kirkilis Mata'afa. These guys are going to be big-time players on the next level. And, you know, they may have been just overlooked by a lot of the other major schools out there. And Mike Leach has done a great job with those kids.
Terry, I survived the frozen tundra of Pullman. I graduated from there in 2015. And so I've been out there. I know what it's like. And you're right. It's tough to get kids to come out there to the Palouse. And especially when, you know, let's say the kid is a really good local kid from Washington State. And, you know, his very next visit is to the University of Washington. And, you know, while I'm a Coug to the end of the day, it'll be hard to recruit me when, you know, you could either play out in this frozen tundra or you could go play in a brand new stadium on the water in an urban city. So
you
I get that.
City. I say all that to say this because I have both of my younger brothers went to Wazoo. Both of my younger brothers played football at Wazoo. And so, you know, I compare and contrast what I had to experience at the University of Washington and what they did at Wazoo. And, you know, either one has the benefits, you know, and I'll always say this, you know, when I went to University of Washington, it felt almost like a business decision. Like, a lot of the guys on our team were there for strictly business. They wanted to go play football. They wanted to live in the city. They wanted to make it to the next level. And so there were guys that I would see at practice that I wouldn't see again for, you know, I wouldn't see at school. I wouldn't see around campus. They lived maybe downtown, or they lived in another part of the city, and I wouldn't see them. Flip side of that, over at Wazoo, it was a real community, man. It was a real school, and I got to go over there and visit, and I got to see how close-knit everybody was, because that's all you guys had. And there was something to be said about that. I feel like I might have missed out on that experience in college.
Yes, but, you know, going back to what I was saying, Mike Leach, he's a winner, whether you like him as a coach or not. He, you know, absolutely. Texas Tech took his team to a bowl game pretty much every single year. Like you said earlier, turned the culture of Washington State around. They're back to winning football games or starting to win football games, however you want to look at it. So with that, you know, with having a coach like Leach, who I think Wazoo lucked up in getting in the first place, you know, he had the falling out and, you know, locking kids in the closet or whatever it may be. and then, you know, Wazoo was pretty much his only opportunity. So now that he's shown that he can be a winner, he's shown that he can change a culture. Do you think that he is trying to leave? You know, that was maybe his intention from the beginning, is, you know, go to a school like Wazoo, turn it around, and then head, you know, to the SEC or wherever they may have him.
You know, I don't know if that was his intention in the beginning. I really don't. I have any clue. I think that, you know, everybody wants to, you know, at some point, you know, achieve the highest level that they can achieve, whether that be in the world of business, whether that be, you know, us in the entertainment and radio business. We want to be as successful as possible, or a football coach. I know you know, as a football coach, you want to achieve the highest, reach as high as you possibly can. That being said, I think Coach Leach has created a legacy for himself, or beginning to create a legacy for himself at Washington State. You know, he's going to be known as the guy that came in there and turned that program around and brought them to national prominence. You know, I mean, I want to say once again, because the guys have been there before. You know, you guys have had flashes of great teams in the past, with great players in the past, but it's been relatively consistent with him. And so I don't know whether, you know, he's happy with saying, hey, this is my legacy. I'm the guy that came to Washington State, and I turned this program around. I made it into a perennial contender. And, you know, the people love me here in this small town. I can be just as cuckoo as I want to be, cuckoo and conservative. You know, I don't know if you can be cuckoo and conservative at some of these other programs around the country. But at the end of the day, I would not be surprised if he made a move, because he has definitely earned it. On the flip side of that, you know, he's made his mark here at Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm riding the fence.
Terry Holloman, otherwise known as T. Holla, joining us here on The Double. And Terry, before we let you get to your evening, you know, I know you're on this show tonight. You've got your show, The Barbershop, coming up Wednesday evening on Sports Radio 950 KJR in Seattle. And, of course, the iHeartRadio app with Marcus Trufant. But, you know, I mean, I want to know, Terry, do you have your own parking spot at King 5 TV in Seattle? You are a staple on New Day Northwest. Of course, you were there this morning. Seems like almost every Monday you're there, 11 a.m., talking football.
Yeah, I am there every single Monday morning. That's my gig now. Yeah, they have not got me a parking spot yet. I'm fortunate enough that they will validate it. But if I don't leave the parking lot in time, I will have to pay a little extra. So I'm not all the way in there quite yet. But no, it's a great experience. The great people that are working there at King 5, Margaret Larson, who is, man, you would be surprised how many women are actually into football and really love the Seahawks. And so she is a lady that really knows her football. She grew up in Texas, the great state of Texas. And so she loves football. She really loves the Seahawks. And, man, I'm blessed and honored to talk football with her every single Monday. And it's always better when the Seahawks win because, you know, the people at the station are much happier. The people working the cameras are much happier. The people in the audience, you know, I can always make them giggle a little better when the Seahawks have a win. But, yeah, it's a great deal. I'm very happy to do that.
Real quick, rapid fire, Terry Holloman, do the Seahawks win the NFC West?
Yes.
Do the Huskies win the Fiesta Bowl and beat Penn State?
Yes. Hell yes.
You heard it here first from Terry Holloman. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Holloman. And, of course, listen to him on Sports Radio 950 KJR, The Barbershop with Marcus Trufant. T. Holla, thanks so much for your time, your insight. And I know we'll see you at a game real soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
There goes Terry Holloman, or T. Holla, as everybody who knows Terry Holloman knows him as, the former Husky running back. Man, Corey, great interview, great insight on all things football. Well, looks like we may have lost Corey for a second. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, and when we return, we've got big time guest number two lined up, and that is none other than our big time guest number two, Schaefer Murray from the Washington Sports Network. We'll return after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally, normally joined by Sean Boyd, but filling in tonight is Corey Sullivan, and we're going to go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two, and that is Schaefer Murray of the Washington Sports Network. Schaefer, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's going on, Schaefer Murray? It's Corey. I want to talk to you about Luke Falk. For Washington State, a lot of people talked about him being a potential Heisman candidate, talked about him being a NFL draft pick. But with the way that this season has ended, how do you see his NFL draft stock, and would you take him for your team?
I personally wouldn't. Coming into the season, he had high probabilities, and lots of people were talking about him. I think last year was supposed to be a first, second, or third round draft pick. I wanted to stay the extra year, get the experience. But I just think ever since he got that first concussion in 2015, he's kind of seemed to slowly decline, and he's getting a little more cautious than he used to be. He didn't want to throw as many up the middle, a lot of out routes, a lot of check downs. So he's down 1,000 yards this year than he was in the past 2 years, and he's just not getting the open receivers as he was before.
I agree with you, not having the greatest year, but also, the bowl game coming up, heading to face off against Michigan State. Do you think that with the way that Washington State has played lately, do you think that they have a chance to beat Michigan State in this one?
Michigan State's coming in, pretty strong. They had some big wins this year, one at home against Penn State, Michigan on the road, I believe it was on the road. It's just punch you in the mouth, tough mouth football, running game, and Big Ten style. So they struggled last week against 2 weeks ago against UW, giving up over 300 yards on the ground. I think it's going to be tough for him to keep up, especially if Luke's not firing on all cylinders.
Now, Schaefer, what do you think the issue has been with the Cougars? It seems like they've been very Jekyll and Hyde. They're either winning, doing everything right, firing on all cylinders, or they stink up the joint like they did in Seattle for the Apple Cup.
They opened up with 5 home games. And so it looked really good, to start out 5-0. They played a Boise State team. Down 17 points or 21 points in the fourth quarter, was able to tie it late down the stretch, not with Luke Falk, by the way. And it's just a lot of games they haven't seemed to impress this year. Last year they had a big win at Stanford, where they kind of dismantled them the week after UW did, and that was pretty impressive. But to me, I haven't been in awe of kind of any of the performances in coming into each game. Are we going to be able to sustain, and beat the teams that they should be beating?
So that leads us to the bowl game. Do you think the the Cougars that won 8, 9, 10 games will show up, or the team that played in the Apple Cup will show up for this bowl game, which is Luke Falk's final game as a Cougar.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, it seems kind of like, at least last game, Leach was dead set on keeping him in the game. Earlier in the year, he kind of had that threat of pulling him and putting in Helinski, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, spade for a spade there. Helinski will come in, throw for 500 yards in two quarters, but also throw four interceptions. So, you know, do you want a lot of scoring, you know, with turnovers, or do you want not as much scoring, you know, in a close, slower scoring game? So, you know, I personally don't know if they're going to be able to withstand a big team like Michigan State. But if, you know, if that offense gets rolling, you know, anything can happen.
Shafe, I know that you don't know for sure. Nobody does. But I guess you can't really talk about the Cougs right now without talking about Mike Leach at the least. So I won't ask you if you know that he's leaving. How about, do you think that Mike Leach would even consider leaving for greener pastures, if there are any?
Well, it sounds like everything I've heard, he did have a letter of agreement signed with Tennessee, and in the Apple Cup, just sitting in that press conference after the game, you know, you've sat at him too. Just seeing Leach so calm and collected after an Apple Cup game, where, you know, quite frankly, they got embarrassed, and after nearly every embarrassment or every loss, Mike Leach has something to gripe at, or is angry and upset, and, you know, and kind of calling out reporters. He was very calm and un-Leach-like. So I thought something was up coming into that. So, you know, I mean, obviously, if he had a letter of agreement signed, you know, he's looking to leave. You know, that's kind of what WSU has been for most coaches. Tony Bennett, you know, on the basketball side, mm-hmm. Calvin Sampson, it's kind of been that way. So you can't blame him for leaving. You just hope the Cougs can get a big-name coach who can recruit.
And finally, I know you're switching gears a little bit. Hopefully, you checked out the Seahawks and Eagles game last night. Do you think that Russell Wilson is going to win the MVP this season? And how did he look to you?
I mean, he looks great. I don't know if he's going to get the MVP from everything that I've heard. But he looks fantastic. I mean, doing everything on himself, you know, what was it, 20 of 21 passes completed in the fourth or whatever it was. Not a lot of running game support. And so he's, you know, having to do it with the assumption that he's going to pass and he's still getting it done. So, you know, that's pretty impressive in its own right. And then you throw in the defense there and able to do it without big names like Sherman and Chancellor, that's pretty impressive.
Schaefer Murray joining us from the Washington Sports Network. Now, you talk about, with Corey's question about Russell being a potential MVP, you look at what Pete Carroll had to say this morning on his radio appearance in Seattle, and he says, you know, typically that award goes to a player on the best team, and we'll see how everything unfolds. There's still, if you look at it, we're in December. There's still a quarter of the season left. There's still four games, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at the entirety of the football schedule, that's one quarter of it, and the Seahawks, as of last night, look to be playing on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, they're looking really good. And like you said, there's still four games left. And, you know, I guess it's game by game with the Seahawks. You never know which team to expect, but the way they came out in the first quarter and kind of set the tone, that's something they've been doing in the second half all year, and now they're doing in the first quarter. So they can sustain that and get that, you know, pass to run mentality that the Patriots adopt. I think they'll be good. And yeah, he does have a real good shot of getting it.
Schaefer Murray of the Washington Sports Network, thanks for your time, your insights on all things Cougars, and a little bit of Seahawks thrown in there as well. Appreciate your time tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
There goes Schaefer Murray of the Washington Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Schaefer Murray. Corey, we've got some good insight on your alma mater, the Cougars.
Yeah, I appreciate Schaefer Murray always coming in, clutch, especially with everything Cougs. He keeps me up to date of everything going on in that locker room. So big ups to him, and yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and take one more quick break. Come on back and close the show here on The Double. We'll be back after this. You're listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Everybody get up.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back here on The Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally joined by guest co-host Corey Sullivan tonight, filling in for Sean Boyd. Corey, it's been fun, man.
It has been fun. We got to talk about some Cougs. Unfortunately, we had to talk about some Washington Huskies. And, of course, always good to talk about the Seattle Seahawks and the amazing Russell Wilson.
Now, Corey, for those that don't know, give the listeners a quick bio background of yourself. Of course, you and I met at Washington State University working for the Pac-12 networks. What else can you tell everybody about what Corey Sullivan's all about?
Oh, Corey Sullivan's got his start at Washington State University. Met you along my travels, and also Schaefer Murray, our guest earlier. I definitely appreciate him and all that he's done. Got me acclimated to the environment there in Pullman. And, continuing to cover the Seahawks, and I'm from Seattle, so always keep up on all things Seattle except for the Mariners. I'm an Angels fan, so I keep up with what's going on with the Mariners and everything. I just love sports, some soccer. The Sounders doing big things in MLS, if MLS is big to you. I guess they're doing some cool stuff in the MLS, so a supporter of all things Seattle, graduated from Wazoo, and continue to keep in touch with my man Sean Wally. That's about it.
Man, Corey, that was a great mention. The Sounders have moved on to another MLS Cup, and they will take on Toronto FC and see if they can win their second championship.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. You know, they finally get to face off against Jose Altidore, one of the only mentionable Team USA players. Of course, we have the great Clint Dempsey. So I'm not a big MLS guy. I like real soccer, La Liga, Cristiano, all of that. But for MLS, no disrespect to it. I'm glad, if a team is going to be doing good, it is the Seattle Sounders. And, it's been a long road for them, from playing in Memorial Stadium to where they're at now, selling out seats at CenturyLink at the Clink. So I'm excited for what they got going on there.
Big things potentially for the Seattle Sounders. I mean, it's big enough just to get to the championship, let alone have a chance to actually win it. If they do, it'll be their second MLS Cup. And, you did mention the Seattle Mariners. And, of course, for some reason, your affinity for the LA Angels of Anaheim or whatever the heck they're called now. But, man, hey, maybe you'll be more of a Mariner fan if and when the Japanese phenom Shohei Ohtani signs with Seattle, as he has told the evil empire, the New York Yankees, no, go away. He will not sign in New York or really any East Coast team. So it appears most of the West Coast teams have an advantage, presumably being closer to Japan.
I think so. I just don't know. There's something about the Mariners organization, just top to bottom, they just never can seem to get it done. They always have great players. Robinson Cano, Hall of Famer. Nelson Cruz, came on at the end of his career, but he's playing great every year. Felix Hernandez should have got traded a long time ago. And not because I don't like Felix Hernandez. I think Felix Hernandez is an amazing, amazing pitcher. But he deserves to be on a team that makes the playoffs. And I think his value is pretty much zero at this point. And I thought the Mariners should have traded him, got him some value. And I feel like they owed him one. If your team isn't going to really ever be competitive, you might as well let, one of the best pitchers of this generation at least be seen by the national media. So unfortunately, he's not. Unfortunately, the Mariners probably will never make the playoffs, because that's just how it is. And so I don't feel too bad for being an Angels fan, because at least they have won something. And rarely they go to the playoffs, but at least they get there. So I don't know what it is about Seattle. No matter how good the talent is, I mean, even Kyle Seager, a really good third baseman, offensively and defensively. So I don't know what they got to do, but it's not looking good, and I don't like where the Mariners are headed, this, especially right now with the way that the roster is looking.
Well, Corey, I will caution you, young man, never say never. And, Felix Hernandez, it's been his choice to stay here. He believes in the city, the organization, the fan base, regardless of the down in the doldrums that the team has been in, not made the playoffs since 2001. He loves the atmosphere. He loves the family camaraderie of the organization. And if anyone should know the organization inside and out, it's Felix Hernandez. He's been a Mariner. I think he signed at, 16 years old? So half of his life, he's been a Seattle Mariner. And yes, the results haven't been where any professional team would want them, but I would argue and counterpoint to you that Jerry DePoto, the general manager, has them going in the right direction, has done things with the team on the field to make them better. Nobody in their right mind could have foreseen the record-setting number of injuries the pitchers had for the Mariners, and it is what it is, and they had to roll with those punches. And, hopefully, number one, Felix can find a way to stay healthy, because he hasn't for a handful of years now been able to finish an entire season. You look at them bringing back Iwakuma to a very nice contract that is a minor league contract with an invite to spring training, because guess what? You have to prove it. You have to prove that you can stay healthy and you can get back to the pitcher you once were. If you can, we'll take you, absolutely. If not, you might get released or you could have a spot in Tacoma. So, you know, and they're going all in on Shotani out of Japan, the all-everything pitcher and home run hitter, which I don't know how exactly those dynamics are going to work in the American League. But, you know, I'm sure DePoto and manager Scott Servais have an idea if, in fact, they can land the Japanese superstar.
You're right. DePoto, the former Angel, I'm sure he's got some great things planned for the Seattle Mariners. And you're welcome, Mariners fans. You're welcome that Jerry DePoto was nice enough to leave the Angels organization to try to help rebuild the Seattle team. And, you know, I hope that he can do it. I like everything in Seattle. I love the city of Seattle. So, obviously, no matter how big of a fan I am of somewhere else, I hope that the city, you know, gets a chance to celebrate it every opportunity. So, you know, I hope that the Mariners are one day good. It's just, you know, I'm going to be honest, and I hope everyone else that is a Mariners fan is as well, although they never are, you know, always coming out with World Series hopeful at the beginning of the year, and, you know, a week or 2 weeks into it, the reality comes crashing back down. So hopefully they can figure it out. Hopefully this, you know, pitcher is what they need or whatever it is, and hopefully they can figure something out. But maybe they could even get Giancarlo. You know, I hear that's a big name out there, but I'm not sure what they got to do. But it's, you know, like I said, it's not looking promising for the Mariners organization right now.
Corey Sullivan, you're killing me. A week or two into it, everybody's down in the dumps and jumping off the bandwagon. Come on. Let's give them at least a month or two, not a week or two. Good night.
You're right. You're right. They usually start pretty hot, and it's, you know, they always, in the middle of the summer, they hit that big, you know, 10, 11, 35-game losing streak or whatever it is that crushes all their dreams. But at least they start a little lukewarm.
That's the voice of Wazoo Coug alum Corey Sullivan. Great having you on the show tonight, filling in for Sean Boyd. A fabulous job. Hope you had a good time. Great having you on the show, Corey.
Thank you. Yeah, go Cougs. And it's been fun. Hopefully we can do it again.
For Corey Sullivan down in Southern California, Doug Newsom at the BBS Radio Studios, Sean Boyd on assignment in Sacramento, California. I'm Sean Wally saying good night, and we'll talk to you next time here on The Double.
Thanks for listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.